To quote Thomas Jefferson, a well-informed citizenry is the best defense against tyranny. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we discuss the basics of our constitutional republic and how our freedoms are being seized by public officials, both elected and unelected. I'm Mark DeLuzio, a former candidate for the U.S. Congress and a Gold Star father. Join me as we learn together how we can save this unique experiment that we call America. Hi, Mark DeLuzio, back at you. This is episode 63, titled, Are You the Useful Idiot the Founders Warned Us About? Now, look, I don't mean to be insulting by calling anybody a useful idiot, but you've got to admit they're out there. And I want you to question whether or not you're one of them, okay? In all due respect, right, I want you to question whether or not you are not independently thinking about what really is going on, but it's kind of picking sides and singing the party line, or whoever politician you follow, whether or not you favor President Trump, Chuck Schumer, it doesn't matter. If you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, I think this whole notion of becoming a useful idiot applies. And at the end of the day, the people who lose by this doctrine are the American people and you, and you. And you may not even know it. So what is the greatest threat to our liberty? Is it tyranny? Is it some foreign nation with a nuclear weapon? Is it some kind of, you know, biological weapon? Is it some kind of electronic taking down our power grid or internet? Yeah, maybe all that is really a threat. I'm not trying to, you know, discount any of those things. But what if it's your loyalty to a particular politician or to a particular party? What? And I'm talking to Republicans and Democrats alike. And yes, I'm talking to independents too. Because the whole notion of becoming an independent says that, yeah, we're above the fray and we're going to be able to think differently. Our thinking process is much more advanced than you Republicans or you Democrats. We're going to break out as independents because we're not going to have all of the corruption and immorality and all that you guys have in those other two parties. We're too good for you. So we're breaking out. Okay. That's exactly what Karl Marx and Frederick Engels thought about the proletariats, that they were the virtuous ones. Give them the power in all the ills of the bourgeoisie would go away. No, it's not true. Man is corruptible. I don't care what party you have. I don't care what uniform you wear. I don't care what allegiance you have or what religion you have. Man is corruptible, and the people who got that straight were the founding fathers. So no reorganization is going to fix that. Okay, remember what John Adams said, that the Constitution is meant for a religious and moral people. It's meant for no other, right? So is it your loyalty that is a big part of the problem? Not your loyalty to principles, to constitutional principles, but loyalty to political factions and political figures, okay? Noah Webster, I talk about him a lot in all of my various episodes. He warned as follows. When men once become attached to political factions, they are apt to lose sight of their public good and become dupes and tools of others. So I guess, you know, we're not the first ones to use the word tools, okay? They actually use the word dupes, which is pretty interesting. In other words, people begin to think they are defending liberty when they're actually advancing somebody else's agenda. Especially when it flies in the face of fundamental constitutional principles, which we are ill prepared to defend because we don't know them. This is why I'm doing this podcast. We don't teach them in school, and what we do teach in school is wrong. We teach kids we're a democracy, not a republic. We talk about the fact that the founders thought that slaves were only three-fifths of a human, didn't realize that that three-fifths rule was actually designed to retard the whole advancement of slavery. So we don't teach it right anyway. And I think I've told you before, this whole democracy versus a republic argument I had with a high school history teacher who told me that a democracy and a republic were exactly the same thing. And he's teaching kids, as Rush Limbaugh would say, God rest his soul, minds full of mush. These kids are being formed. And if you go back to Vladimir Lenin, and I've mentioned this before on my podcast, give me 4 years with your children, the seeds that I have sown will never be uprooted. Isn't that scary? I mean, you want to talk about evil? You want to talk about evil? The seeds that I have sown will never be uprooted. Think about that. And then think about, why do we have a Department of Education at the federal level where it doesn't belong there constitutionally? But you have a lot of people saying, hey, no, we got to really push education in this country. And look what's happened to our education over the course of time. It went down the tubes. Okay. And we seem to have forgotten about the separation of power, separation of federalism versus state rights. Congress had no business doing anything in that regard with education. There's a lot of examples like that, okay? James Madison in Federalist 10. The latent causes of faction are sown in the nature of man. And I did a podcast episode about division politics and how that's a Marxist tool. It's actually a tool of all politicians. You get pitted in a group. You get positioned as a victim. And there's another group that is the supposed oppressor. And all of a sudden, the politicians are going to come in and save the day, save you from whatever oppressor they say is out there against whatever group they happen to fashion, whether it's the gay community, whether it's women, whether it's rich versus poor, black versus white. And Obama really started the division politics there, okay? Rich versus poor, black versus white, factions with religions, Jews versus Palestinians, Christians versus Muslims. You go down the list, and there are factions after factions after factions. And as we fight within those factions, we allow the people in power to have a hall pass to stomp on our freedoms over and over and over again. These factions got us the Patriot Act, which is unbelievable unconstitutional. I'll have to do a podcast episode on that. Okay. And a lot of other things that happened over the course of time. Okay. Now, Madison was a realist. He said, hey, look, factions are inevitable, but dangerous when citizens place loyalty to party above loyalty to liberty. Let me read that again. Factions are inevitable. He understood the nature of man. These founders understood the nature of man, okay? And they weren't trying to change the nature of man. They were trying to create the checks and balances to assure that the immorality that was bound to happen, because power does corrupt, were held in check, right? But he said that the factions were inevitable, but dangerous when citizens place loyalty to party above loyalty to liberty. His definition of a faction, a number of citizens united and actuated by some common impulse or passion or interest adverse to the rights of other citizens. Now you think about it, one of the reasons we're a republic is so that minority rights do not get trampled on, okay? That's one of the reasons that we're a republic versus a democracy, which is basically majority rule, mob rule. So the most blatant example I can give you is if 50% plus one vote for a law that says it's okay to beat your wife. That's law. That's law. That's a democracy. That's law. So women are now, their rights are being subverted, and that's how democracy works. I may get this wrong, but I think it was Franklin that said, democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what to have for lunch. Okay. So, or a lamb. I think he used lamb. But then that's why we have the Second Amendment, he said, because the lamb could take up arms. Okay. I mean, all these things that they've did in the Constitution were just unbelievably genius, how it all tied together. Okay. Let's go back to Noah Webster. He warned that factional politics could manipulate ordinary people. And if you don't think that's happening today, if you don't think that's happening in the past, I mean, even go back to the 16th Amendment, the income tax law, where we took away the apportionment clause. Most citizens back then supported that 16th Amendment, okay? Because it was sold, and a lot of, you know, Democrats today think that they created this whole notion of the rich have to pay their fair share, right? That was used back then against the supposed rich. Now, what people didn't understand back then was the rich didn't have income per se to be subjected to the tax. So the guys that pushed this were the big rich Rockefellers and the JP Morgans and people like that. They don't pay income tax. They don't get a W-2 like you do at your job. Okay, they make their money through capital gains and appreciation of assets. And I have a whole episode on how that all works and how you end up paying for it. Okay, but we got duped. We got duped back then. We've been duped all along on all kinds of things. Okay, but Webster said, party spirit is the madness of many for the gain of a few. And that may not seem like that today when you look at any one issue. But over the course of time, it's like a Chinese water torture. These things add up. And sooner or later, it's you, the ordinary citizen, who on the outside, you're on the outside looking in. Okay? Think about that phrase, the madness of many for the gain of a few. Noah Webster from West Hartford, Connecticut, had a chance to visit his home. Right on South Main Street, over if you know where Rockledge Golf Course is, right down the street from the golf course. And a nice, beautiful little red house. They have a lot of his writings in there, his dictionaries and all that. And you know, I've talked about Noah Webster and his 1828 dictionary. And I may end up doing a whole episode just on that dictionary, okay? I have a copy of it. But who benefits from this, I'm going to call it blind loyalty? It's political leaders. The people, though, who defend them without thinking gain nothing except for this satisfaction to know that your team won. Hey, we won in Supreme Court. We got that done. We won over here. We won this vote. We passed this law. Okay, and I think everybody's heard of Trump derangement syndrome. Now, let me go on record again. I'm a big fan of President Trump, okay? And thank God the cackling lady, Kamala Harris did not get in. I don't know what this country would look like right now. We'd probably be in World War III. Okay. I'm a big fan of President Trump, but I don't agree with everything. There's not one politician I've ever met in my lifetime that I agree with 100%. Whether it be Ronald Reagan, okay. Certainly not George Bush, okay. Who started a war that killed my son, all right. And the military industrial complex with his sidekick, Dick Cheney, who I think was pure evil, by the way. But we had factions back then supporting the president. We had factions supporting Dick Cheney in going to war in Iraq. The weapons of mass destruction, pure lie, right? So, you know, today we've all heard of the Trump derangement syndrome. No matter what President Trump does, there are those who are just dead against it because they hate President Trump and all he stands for. He's an outsider and he came into this establishment and he's upsetting the piggy bank of all these people involved in profiteering off of your taxpayer dollars. And I told you I met former Senator Phil Graham at a very expensive fundraiser. It cost me a lot of money. And he basically said, yeah, Joe Biden. He says, this is back in the election when they were running. Yeah, Joe Biden, I like Joe. Joe's a good man. Yeah, Joe and I get along. President Trump don't like the man at all. And once he's gone, we got to get the Republican Party back to where it was. I could not believe he said that. So I said to him, this is a dinner of about 15 or 20 people. And I said to Phil Graham, Senator, I got to ask you a question. I said, I didn't realize I was at a Democratic fundraiser. And he did not like I said that. He's one of those guys that when he talks over your head. He doesn't look at you in the eye. He kind of looks over you. Okay. Pompous SOB. Cancer. He's a cancer. And he profited very nicely. I'd love to see his bank account before and after he was in the Senate. Okay. And yeah, that's what we got here. Now I'm going to get criticized for criticizing a Republican? Really? Okay. Go ahead. Go at it. So in his farewell address, George Washington, oh, let me get back to TDS. I'm sorry. So we know TDS is, no matter what President Trump does, he's going to, Trump derangement syndrome, we're going to be against it. People are going to be against it. He could cure cancer. And somebody will have a problem because he put doctors out of work or pharmaceutical stock went down 20%. It doesn't matter what he does. Okay. So in some sense, that's about 30 or 40% of the Democratic Party. You just got to ignore those people because they don't have meaningful, they don't have meaningful arguments. Okay. But you've got people falling in line because they're useful idiots. They're going to fall in line. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But there's also something else going on with President Trump. On the Republican side, there's something I coined called Trump Agreement Syndrome, TAS. No matter what he does, we agree with. No matter what he does. Trump Agreement Syndrome. It's as dangerous as Trump Derangement Syndrome. You may not think that today, but someday you will, okay? It basically means we've turned, the people who have TAS have turned their brain off. They've turned their brain off and they're not thinking anymore. They're letting, in this case, one man do the thinking for them. There's no one politician that anybody in their right mind can agree with 100% of the time. I'm sorry. If that's the case, then you're just not thinking. You're not thinking. And you become the useful idiot. And you are complicit in the demise of our country. I'm afraid to be that blunt about it. I've done a lot of episodes on you know, our whole knowledge base of what our freedoms are. How can we defend our freedoms when we don't even know what our freedoms are? Right? And the whole essence of this whole podcast that I'm doing, It's called the Constitution Solution. If we follow the constitutional principles, most of these issues would go away. Not all of them. Okay, remember, we're not a perfect nation. Founders knew that right in the preamble. They said, in pursuit of a more perfect union. And they gave us Article 5 to amend the Constitution. Lord knows I'd hate to see that happen, believe it or not, because I'm just afraid what would happen if we opened up the Constitution. You know, people like Mark Levin and some others that want to open up the Constitution, Article 5. I'm definitely afraid of that. Okay? And if we amend the Constitution, what the hell do you think? You think we're going to follow whatever we amend? We're not following it now. So why waste our time? There's no single solution here. Everybody thinks there's a silver bullet. Hey, flat tax. Yeah, let's do that. There's no silver bullet. Let's amend the Constitution. There's no silver bullet here, guys. Okay? If you have immorality and corruption and you've got useful idiots supporting those who are doing it, it doesn't matter what the Constitution says. And it hasn't. I'm going to give you some examples in a few minutes. How about we just get back to following what we're supposed to be doing? And talk to me later if we have the discipline to hold to our standards, to our founding principles. I'm more than willing to talk about, okay, what can get better now? But right now, we're not following our Constitution, and we're paying the price for it, every one of you. If you have sons or daughters that are in their 20s and they got married and they can't afford a home, you're complicit. Because we put these people in office. Now, I know a lot of this stuff was done before they were born. The Federal Reserve was put in place in 1913, and we got off the gold standard in 1972, and you know, FDR put in Social Security, which is totally unconstitutional, by the way. There's a lot of things that happen, all the administrative agencies and all that kind of stuff, right? The military-industrial complex, all these things contributed to the fact that, you know, you ordinary Americans are getting screwed and no one's paying for it. And there are people profiting off of this, okay? So, you know, to say it's your fault, you know, but we continue to perpetuate the Lindsey Grahams of the world. And others that you, I'm sure, can pick. The Susan Collins, the Murkowskis from Alaska. We continue to put these people in office that are absolutely opposed to our founding principles. John Thune, who's running the Senate. He's another example. We can't pass the SAVE Act. We've got both houses and the Oval Office, and we can't pass the Voter ID Act. You gotta be kidding me. There's factions that are working here that we're supporting, you know. I'm sorry. There's factions that were that are happening that are just simply unconstitutional, but we're supporting these people. If there was a vote tomorrow, you think John Thune would get elected? You bet your ass he would. Why? Why? He's the guy that can make it happen. He can get rid of the filibuster. They don't want to. Now you got to ask yourself why. Okay. George Washington, the spirit of party serves always to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. And for those of you in Rio Linda, enfeeble means to weaken, to make weaker. Okay. I had to get a Rio Linda one in here somehow. I mean, I so miss Rush Limbaugh. My God. He really taught me how to think about politics, how to question, how not to accept a premise of a question and don't get trapped in answering a badly worded question that whose premise is just wrong. I can't tell you how much, I mean, I would listen to him during lunch break. I'd go out in my car and listen to him for an hour. That's how much I learned. I had his 24/7. I listened to him at night before I went to bed. I mean, the guy was just incredible in the service he did for our country. Okay. I don't think we'd be anywhere where we are now, as much as we're way behind the eight ball, if it wasn't for Rush Limbaugh. Washington also said that this whole notion of spirit of party opens the door to foreign influence and corruption. Washington said this way back then, okay? And he truly believed that factional politics could slowly undermine the republic itself. And I think he's absolutely right. So now, one of the most, the dangerous consequences, the factional politics is that principles, in particular constitutional principles, become flexible. Yeah, that's an old document. I've had people tell me that's a 250-year-old document. It's written by a bunch of old white slave owners, and no, it's our law. The Constitution is our law. It's not a suggestion, but we treat these things as flexible. So let me, and you've heard me talk about this before. I've been greatly criticized for this. But let me talk about the flexibility that we, as especially quote unquote, air quote, conservative Republicans, have taken as positions. Allowing the president to declare war. Oh, but Mark, it's not a war. Oh, but Mark, it's a police action. Yeah, tell that to the 37,000 families in Korea when Truman took our troops to Korea. 37,000 body bags later. It was a police action. He didn't think he needed a declaration. The War Powers Act allows him to do that. Oh, so we can allow Congress to write a law that transfers their constitutional rights, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11, over to the executive branch. Oh, sure. Why not? Why do we even have Article 5 to amend the Constitution? Just write a law to say, hey, I'm going to change this. Nobody is arguing that. I ask it all the time. I've asked it on Facebook, for example, to all my constitutional lawyers, and they've never responded to me. I wonder why. Because they know it's wrong, okay? Hey, the war only lasts 3 days. And then I went back. I did a whole episode. You go back to episode 48. I won't spend too much time on this, but who can declare war? And go see what the founding fathers, this is the one thing that they were absolutely in agreement with. They were not in agreement in all things with the Constitution. They argued a lot, okay? But this one was one that they were glued at the hip. Who can declare war? Go back and listen to that one, okay? Another one is tariffs. Yeah, the president should be able to write tariffs. No, I'm sorry. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, it's Congress's responsibility to set tariffs. But we've wrote several laws to allow the president to set tariffs on his own. On his own. Right flies in the face of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1. First clause in Article 1, Section 8, which are the 18 enumerated powers of Congress. We had the Reciprocal Trade Agreement of 1934. We had the Tariff Act of 1930. If a country discriminates against our commerce, what the hell does that mean? And who makes that call? Okay. I mean, you said 1% tariffs. Is that discrimination? I don't know. We have the Trade Expansion Act of 1962, which ceded power over to the president, and the Tariff Act of 1974. If the president thought there was unfair trade, I don't know. How do you define that? How do you define unfair trade? He could set tariffs. Okay. So that's another one. Go to episode 46. I have a whole episode on tariffs. Okay. We did two episodes on the Federal Reserve, episode 27 and 28. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5 says that Congress can coin money, not print money, by the way. Jefferson was adamant about paper money because of the inflationary effects on expanding our currency, which is exactly what happens today. That's why our inflation is what it is. But they also have the power in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5 to regulate the value thereof. So now you're looking at the value is really being regulated by interest rates and the Federal Reserve, who are not even a federal agency. The Federal Reserve is not even a federal agency. You want to talk about unelected bureaucrats? Wow. I have an episode on administrative agencies. It's called the Fourth Branch of Government. I forget which number that was, but you can go find it. It's early on in the podcast series. And with the administrative agencies, they gave the president the power to write regulation, which had the power of law. Now, there's this whole non-delegation argument that's being taken up by the Supreme Court. And I'm going to be doing a podcast episode on non-delegation, okay? Because certain conservative members of the Supreme Court, Gorsuch, Alito, and Thomas, want to go back and look at that because they thought Congress ceded too much power to the executive branch. And they are absolutely right. And that's one of the ways we're losing our country, okay? I hope they do talk about the War Powers Act, by the way. No one man should be able to take us to war. Oh, you trust President Trump? Okay. Let's just say that's fair. What happens when AOC gets in and she has that power to take us to war? Or a Kamala? Or name any one of those Marxist tyrants on the other side. What happens then? Are you going to pull out your Constitution and get on your soapbox and start screaming Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11? I don't think so. Or if you do, you're a hypocrite, okay? And I've been consistent on this, guys. I've been consistent against President Trump doing it. Obama did it. Biden did it. Every president in my lifetime has violated this. We had not declared war through Congress since World War II. Every president, maybe not Eisenhower. I can't remember if Eisenhower did it. But anyway, almost every president in my lifetime had made this violation. So I've been against, whether you're Republican or Democrat, I've been against it, okay? But again, I got called a rhino. I got called a liberal. you're not believe. People should know better, by the way, too, okay? People who do podcasts who talk about this stuff. Pretty interesting. Emergency spending. I had Paul Gosar on episode 32, and there are like 42 emergency spending bills out there where the president can say, hey, there is an emergency, there's a national security risk, whatever, and go spend money against any one of these bills. We have them back to Gaddafi. They created an emergency spending bill when Gaddafi was in power. That's still out there and it's still usable. So Paul Gosar talks about this. So why is that a problem? It's simply because Congress has the power of the purse, not the president. He can't decide to spend money. Well, when we invoke emergency spending powers, he can spend money without any say from Congress at all. We're going to spend $2 billion on this and money on this because he declared this so-called emergency. So you see, as you look at all these things, and there's others, by the way, okay, these are the things that when we talked about flexible, we're very flexible with the Constitution, it will come back and bite you right in the butt. There's no question about it. Now, what about the fact that policies that at one time were a political party was for are now against? A little bit of Trump derangement syndrome sitting in there too, right? But it happens on our side too. It happens on the Republican side as well, okay? And let's just talk about that. Changes in positions. There was a time where the Democrats were free traders and signed off on NAFTA, okay? Now they want to protect labor, and they're against that. There was a time where Democrats were opposed to same-sex marriage. They actually passed a Defense of Marriage Act Can you imagine that? Now they're supporting LGBTQXYZ. I don't know what to tell you. Transgenders, surgery to minors, to physically trans, to physically trans, transfer their sex. Okay. They were strong on borders. I mean, you go back to quotes in the 90s by Clinton, Pelosi, Obama, Schumer. They were strong on the border. Now, today, they want open borders. They were tough on crime way back when. They passed a violent crime control and law enforcement act. Clinton had the three strikes rule. Now they're letting people out of prison. They're anti-police. Liberal judges are letting people out. They're actually, giving them unbelievably light sentence for some heinous crimes. I mean, can I make this up? I mean, and now on the Republican side, again, we were free traders in the 80s to the 2000s. Now all of a sudden we're big tariff fans. Okay. Again, allowing the president to set tariffs. It's not his job. We're big on balanced budgets. Now, forget it. The only guys talking about balanced budgets are Massey and Rand Paul. And they're known as rhinos now because they're talking about balanced budgets. I just can't figure that out. This is frustrating, guys. Okay. Allegiance to a party is going to kill us. We got to be thinking for ourselves. That means you got to get educated. Please. John Adams, who, by the way, is a big government guy. Okay. He and Jefferson collided on this. He and Hamilton versus, Jefferson and Madison. There's nothing which I dread so much as a division of the Republic into two great parties. John Adams. He feared that once citizens divided into political camps, truth and principle would become secondary. That's exactly what I've been talking about. Winning would become the only goal. I had a chance to meet Steve Scalise at a fundraiser. There's about 20 of us, maybe. And here's a quote that he said. We have congressmen trying to take out their own quarterback. And I'm sure he's referring to MTG and to Massey and to Rand Paul and all that because they were beholden to the Constitution. And all he cared about is getting ours elected. He didn't care who they were. He would take Fetterman out of Pennsylvania if he could, just so he can have control of all these committees. Now, look, there's nothing wrong with that. But you got to have a little bit of principle into who you allow into the club, guys. If you're allowing a Marxist into your club just because he carries R on his business card, then that's just wrong. And this is where we're going here with this. The establishment. We're more worried about the establishment in our team instead of pure constitutional principles. Where is the Freedom Caucus, who are supposed to be all constitutionalists? Where are the Freedom Caucus, putting pressure on their own members to vote and act constitutionally? I'd love to. Maybe that'll be something I'll do. I'll take the Freedom Caucus caucus, and look at all of their Freedom Index scores. Be very interested to see what the Freedom Caucus index looks like. I'll bet you it's below 70. I'll bet you any money's below 70. Okay. Which is horrendous, by the way. That means you vote in concert with the Constitution 70% of the time. Okay. Oh. Thomas Jefferson. I'm going to go on and on here. Okay. I got a couple more. He believed liberty depended on citizens who thought independently. Not being told what to do by Sean Hannity or Mark Levin or some politician. Many people are just repeating talking points that they hear on the news. And they don't do any research. They don't go any further than what they hear at night for half an hour on some TV show. or some talking point, okay? Liberty requires citizens, Jefferson said, to question power. And he warned, and I've used this before, you know, the natural progress of things is for liberty to yield and government to gain ground. Okay. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. Thomas Jefferson. The open preamble to this Constitution, every episode, I state a Jefferson quote. The biggest defense against tyranny is a well-informed citizenry. Thomas Jefferson. You think we're well informed today? Let me ask you that. The founders believed the republic, our republic, depended on citizens who refused to surrender their judgment to political tribes. Because once citizens stopped thinking independently, they stopped defending liberty. And when that happens, they become the tools of other men. So if I had to look at what this looks like, okay. First of all, let's talk about what the Democrat side is supporting. They support the definition of a man and a woman. They can't define for you. If a man dresses up as a woman, he's a woman, okay? And the people on that side don't push back on that notion. They all agreed as a party that President Biden was competent, okay? They all agreed to that. You can look up the quotes in the newscasts of all these political leaders talking about Biden being competent and President Trump not being, okay? George Floyd was is a hero, okay? He was a thug. Put a gun to the belly of a pregnant woman. He was a criminal. Dealt drugs. I mean, broke probably every law under the sun. But they elevated him as a hero. Nobody pushed, on the Democratic side, nobody pushed back on that. Maybe they didn't have the guts to do that because they'd be called a racist. Okay. Fancying a guy like Bill Gates and this Greta as scientists and climate experts. 13-year-old kid. She becomes their icon as far as climatology to support their climate hoax, right? Elizabeth Warren. She's a Native American. Native American. Standing in front of burning police stations saying that, oh, this is mostly a peaceful riot. Per the First Amendment, they have the right to assemble and protest peacefully while fires are raging and people are getting beat up. Fancying an AOC as a genius, as she claims that Elon Musk is an idiot. Okay? And people support that. I don't know. I'm just reading off the list here. Michelle Obama says she's oppressed. Whoopi Goldberg says she's oppressed. She makes, I think, $8 million a year on that show. Give me a little bit of that oppression, please. Okay? But people buy into the fact that, hey, she's black. She's been oppressed. How are you oppressed when you make $8 million a year sitting on a TV set blabbing away on stuff you have no idea about? I don't know. People buy. Nobody challenges this stuff. Okay? So we are not educated. We support, as on the Republican side, we support unconstitutional things because it fits our narrative for today. And it goes against our allegiance to a party or to a politician like President Trump. Okay. I was called a rhino when I supported Rand Paul and Thomas Massey and MTG, okay, by people who claim they're constitutional Republicans. Do you know that Rand Paul has a 96% freedom index? MTG had a 94%, and Thomas Massey, 99% freedom index? I can't make this stuff up. I was called a rhino for supporting them. I mean, what would the freedom index have to be for them to be satisfied? 112? Can't go over 100. Okay. And they all largely supported President Trump. But their allegiance, the TAS, the Trump Agreement Syndrome, and their allegiance to President Trump and the Republican Party, they cherry picked some of the things that they were against, which I agree with, by the way, like going to war. He can't set tariffs. You gotta remember, the Congress is not an extension of the executive branch. The Congress should be an independent, equally powered branch of government. And we have checks and balances. Each branch holds each other in check. It's not an extension of President Trump's agenda. The Congress has a duty to you, because they're your representatives, to do what's right relative to their oath of office and the Constitution. So all these people, I got called a rhino. I got called a liberal. I got called, you know, how can you criticize Republicans? What's wrong with you? And then I asked these same people who criticized me for criticizing other Republicans in our party, okay? Tell me how you feel now about President Trump campaigning against Massey in Kentucky and criticizing Massey, criticizing MTG. He's doing the same thing, okay? And he has all the right to do that, But how can you say it's okay for President Trump to do it because you agree with him and it wasn't okay for me to do it? This is when we put our brains in neutral and our mouth in gear, and we don't know what the hell we're talking about, okay? You can't have it both ways. And I still have yet to hear from these people who criticize me for criticizing other Republicans. When I pose to them, do you agree what President Trump is doing against Massey and Rand Paul? Okay, haven't heard from them yet. I probably won't, just to let you know. But these people put the Constitution first. Isn't that what the oath is all about? Isn't that what they were supposed to do? They had the guts. Oh, these three had the guts to say, no. That's not how this is supposed. That's not how a country's supposed to work. And they're outliers. Now, I got criticized when I criticized Fetterman from Pennsylvania. Oh, wish Fetterman would come on our side. It'd be great to have Fetterman as a Republican. Wouldn't it be great if he flips? He's got a 2% freedom index. 2%. And for those of you in Rio Linda, again, that means he votes in concert with the Constitution, 2% against the Constitution, 98% of the time. And we got Republicans here who claim they're constitutionalists that want this guy on our side. What are you guys, nuts? You freaking nuts. And I got criticized for criticizing him, okay? And I get criticized for supporting guys with 99, 96, and 94% freedom index. I don't know what to tell you, okay? I said this on a number of other, podcast episodes. When I ran for Congress in 2022, I did 135 meet and greets in a span of like 5 months in the biggest district in the country, 63,000 square miles, Arizona, CD2, okay? So put a lot of miles on the car. We had the Navajo Nation. We had all kinds of different counties and all this. But I was at one meeting, one meet and greet. Had about, maybe 50, 60, 70 people at it. And this one guy says to me in the Q&A part of my talk, how do we know we can trust you? And my response to him was, why the hell would you trust a politician? In all due seriousness, what are you, nuts? That's the problem with our country today. We trust our politicians. We trust our parties. We don't push back. We don't independently think. Why would you trust me? I'm as corruptible as you are. How can I trust you? Seriously, look, I'm going to do what I can to earn your trust. Don't get me wrong. And if I don't do what I tell you I'm going to do, kick my ass out in 2 years. But don't trust me. Please don't trust me. Hold me accountable. I need that from you. Okay? You want a guarantee? Go to Home Depot, buy a refrigerator. They'll give you a guarantee. What am I going to do? How would you answer that question? Oh, I don't cheat on my wife, and I don't beat my dog, and, you know, I'll tell a clerk in a store that she overpaid me with change, or, you know, how would you answer that question? I'm just going to tell you, not trust me. That's all I'm going to tell you. And I will do what I can to earn your trust. Don't get me wrong. But when you trust a politician blindly, you're the problem. You are the problem, because this is your government, not their government. They just represent you. This is your government. And if you don't take the time to get informed and find out what's going on and disagree with your representatives when you disagree, okay, then you're the problem. Sorry. Again, I don't want you to trust me, right? So I have three questions for you, and I'll close this off. Do you know that your freedoms are eroding? Do you know they are eroding? And by both sides of the aisle, if you don't realize that, get educated. Your freedoms are eroding from both sides of the aisle. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of good people, at least on our side, on the Republican side. And there are some are friends of mine. Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, running for governor now. High freedom index. Okay? Eli Crane, who beat me, okay? His freedom index is somewhere in the 90s. Good guy, okay? And there's others, okay? There's also a lot of corrupt, self-serving, low-resolution people. It's another word for saying they're not that smart. Or maybe they are smart because they're making all this money. Lindsey Graham, for example, okay? Never saw a war he didn't like. No problem sending your son or daughter to war. He has no problem doing that, okay? So do you realize your freedoms are eroding? And do you know what your freedoms are? You can't defend your freedoms if you don't know what they are. Second question. Are you thinking for yourselves? Are you really challenging all that's going on? Look, we may never agree on everything. I hope not. That's part of the problem, that everybody seems to agree on everything who are just blindly Republican, no matter what it is. It's more important for their team to win than for a country to win. So are you really thinking for yourselves? And the last question I have, go back to the title of this podcast episode. Are you the useful idiots the founders warned us about? Think about it. Think about it. Because in the final analysis, if our country goes down, it's not going to be because of a politician. It's not going to be from a foreign adversary, which they want to, you know, fearmonger you about. Because of you, who you elected and how you allowed your elected officials and your representatives at the state and federal level to get away with, you know, go say murder, okay? And your freedoms. It's on you. American people, it's on you. Get educated and push back and fight. And stop watching Sean Hannity. He's not going to lead you. He's a party allegiance. He'll agree with everything that the party does. He has no independent thought himself. Okay? He just repeats talking points anyway. Get educated, okay? And use the tool that you have at you, that your iPhone or your smartphone. The world of information is out there for you. You just have to go figure out how to find it, okay? And question everything you read. Question the people writing it. First thing I do, I look at who's the author. Okay, this guy has a political bent to him. So right there's a big asterisk, a big red flag as I'm reading his stuff or her stuff. So be careful with what you read and question everything, okay? All right. Are you the useful idiots the framers warned us about? This was episode 63 of the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. I do appreciate your time. This was a little bit long, but hopefully it was worthwhile for you. And we'll see you next time. God bless you guys. Take care. Thanks for listening to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. The Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems. Other episodes can be found on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other podcast platforms. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio. Until next time, may God bless you, may God bless America, and may America bless God.